Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. We're going to take a short break from Ephesians as it's Missions Month. And I've always loved Missions Month. As a kid growing up in this church, it was always fun hearing from the missionaries and hearing what God's doing and seeing the flags and all of that. And I've really enjoyed this Missions Month and hearing from our missionaries and what God's been doing, even though we're kind of in a weird time. We're kind of in a strenuous time. God's still saving souls and God's still building his church. And so if you're with me, turn with me to Matthew 16, 18. And I hope you're going to get to spend some time with your families for Thanksgiving and hopefully not get COVID while you're doing it, but to enjoy time with your family, eat a good meal. But if you're with me in Matthew 16, verse number 18, the Bible says this. This is Jesus talking. And the Bible says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We're just going to, tonight, for a moment, just look at this one simple verse from Jesus Christ and talk about the church and talk about the problems we're facing and talk about how God will take care of his church and why church is important today now more than ever. I grew up in the South, and if you're from the South and all of you live now in the South, there's a church on every corner. You go anywhere you walk, there's this church. You can walk a couple yards that way, and there's another church. You can go into downtown Fort Mill, and there's three or four churches. If you don't like those ones, you can drive over to Rock Hill and try out all of those. And it seems like everywhere you turn, there's a church. But I went to college in California. My wife is from California, and there's not that many churches. They're not on every corner. You can't just pick and choose when you get mad over not getting a good enough afterglow meal or something like that. You can't just go to the next Baptist church because there's not that many of them. Here we have the luxury, but I also think sometimes we have the curse of having too many churches. Me and my brother, on numerous occasions just driving in a car, like to talk about how the South is just as lost as the Western part of this continent. We like to make jokes sometimes about, oh, I just wish California would just fall off and go into existence and we can do without them. Or maybe because all the fires, God's just given them a little bit of taste of what the afterlife is like or something like that. But to be honest with you, people in the South are just as lost, but just in a more scary situation because they have a false hope in a false religion, which is what other churches teach on how you can get to heaven. And so it's sometimes even harder to reach people here because they know too much. They have the head knowledge, but it's not the heart knowledge. And tonight I want to talk about the importance of church. I grew up here in this church. I grew up at Bible Baptist Church, had a couple youth pastors, had a pretty decent-sized youth group. We had fun. We enjoyed the mission trips that we got to go on. We enjoyed the teen activities we got to go on, but if you look around our country, and maybe you notice, maybe you don't, I notice that we see a falling away from church right now, especially in my generation. I look at this church right now, and I just look back at old pictures of all the people I grew up with, and most of them aren't in church anymore. Most of them, some of them are still in church, but a lot of them aren't. The vast majority aren't. And you can say whatever you want. You can say millennials are stubborn, which we are. You can say that we just want it our way, but don't we all? And you can say that, well, church is just boring, and so that's why they don't come. Their attention spans aren't good enough. The lighting's not good enough, whatever. But the main reason I think that people aren't staying in church, young people aren't staying in church, and even older people are leaving church is because they don't feel like church is important. They don't think it matters. I mean, after all, I have a Bible. I can just read it at my house. Why do I need to gather? Why do I need to meet? Why is it important? Now we have live stream. Why do I need to get off my couch? I can just watch the pastor on TV. But today, I want to give you some reasons why the church is important. But before we do that, I want to clarify what I mean by the church. A lot of people say the church, but what does that mean? If you go out to next door and ask people what is the church, they may point at this building and say, that's the church. They may say it's a building, it's a pulpit, it's an altar, it's pews. That's what church is, but that's not what church is. They may say, that, well, church is whatever you want it to be, where two or three are gathered in my name. And that would, I would say, classifies as church. Church is not a building. It's not a financial situation. It's not a business. Church is a group of believers gathered together to worship God. It's as Paul said, or as Peter said in 1 Peter 2:5, it's lively stones that are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You see, if you and I are saved tonight, we make up the church of Jesus Christ. Now, most pastors, when they speak of church, they speak of one or two things. They either speak of the universal church, which is all believers combined together, which make up the bride of Christ, and I do believe in that, but they're also speaking of local New Testament churches. If you go throughout Scripture, if you read throughout the New Testament, when Paul or when Peter or when any of the disciples or even Jesus is talking about the church, he's talking about one or two things. He's either talking about all believers or he's talking to a specific group of believers in a specific place. Church of Laodicea, the church of Philadelphia, the church of Sardis. Those churches were local churches. And here, while we all, if we're saved, are a part of the universal church, we are also part of the local Bible Baptist church family. And so church is not a building, but it's made up of believers. But then also I need you to understand with me tonight that we don't own the church. Pastor's not the owner of this church. I know you really hope you were, but you're not. Jacob Haney is not the owner of Bible Baptist Church, and I really hoped I was too, but I'm not. You guys are not the owner of Bible Baptist Church. We are not, like America, it's not the people that own Bible Baptist Church. It's not for the people, by the people, and of the people. It is God's church. God owns this church. The Bible says in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made ye overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his blood. You see tonight, the church is a group of believers, but the church is also God's. In Acts 20, it says the church of God. And why is it God's? Because very next phrase, he hath purchased with his own blood. That's a significant verse because it means we can't just do whatever we want with the church of God. We can't just make it up as we go and say, well, I feel like this is what church should be, or I feel like this is what the criteria of a pastor should be, or I feel like this is what a marriage should be, or this is what the church should teach, because we don't get to make it up. We don't own it. God does. It is our job to simply follow what God instructs. That's what a church is. You can have a building. You can even have a group of people gathered together, but if you are not following this book and you are not following the principles God's laid out, I'm sorry to tell you, you are not a church. You're just a group. You're just a group having a rally. You're just a group having a pump-up session or whatever you want to call it. You are not a church because the church belongs to God and you must follow God's principles to be a church. In 2020, there's been a lot of talk about what is essential. What matters, right? Hospitals, they're essential. We all would agree, they're essential. We need them. If we're sick, we want to be able to go to a hospital. Schools, up for grabs, depending on what state you are, if it's essential. And unfortunately, due to COVID, the government has the power to decide for us what is essential and what is not. And as a result, church has come under attack. The church has come under attack. You look around the world, and if you were just a couple years ago to ask the majority of Americans, do you ever think it would be possible in the United States of America that the government would have the power to restrict you from worshiping God or to restrict you from coming to church? Every single person, I truly believe, would say, no, that's not possible. We're not China. We're not Russia. We're not the Middle East. We have a constitution, and the very First Amendment says this, that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. It is our constitutional right that we can meet here today. But yet our government is taking that away slower and slower. And I would just want to say today that I'm not the pastor of this church. I don't make the decisions. I don't want to make the decisions right now. I don't think I'm ready for that, but I will say this. I believe with my whole heart that even during COVID, we have the right to gather together and worship God in person. No government can take that away. And let me just say this, even if the Constitution did not give us that right, we still have the right to meet and gather together and worship our God. Because God has commanded us to do so. In Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." It is commanded by God that we worship together and be together. Some people out there are looking for answers on why we should go to church, and I don't have a ton of elaborate plans. I don't have a ton of elaborate reasons for you, but I have one, and it's because God commanded us to. I know we got people watching via live stream, and I'm thankful for them, and a lot of them are at-risk people that if they got COVID, they probably would die. And so I'm thankful that we have the technology where they can stay home, and for right now, for the time being, that is the best they can do for assembling together, and I'm thankful for that, so thank you for watching. But there are others out there that don't even live stream, or if they are live streaming, they could be in church because they're going everywhere else. They're going on vacations. They're going to different places, but church isn't important to them, so they just stay at home and live stream it or skip it. And I would like to say to them that is, do not use health as a reason to neglect the commands of God. We don't get to just pick and choose why we follow God. We don't get to just pick and choose what parts of the Bible we like. We must follow it all. And health and safety is not a reason to compromise what God's asked us to do. Because there's coming a day, probably, where our health and safety may be at risk just for preaching the gospel of God. And we are not to bend, we are not to bow, and we are not to break. We are to stand strong and preach the word of God. The church is important. The church is necessary. Supreme Court Justice Alito recently just wrote this. He says, "It pains me to say this, but in certain quarters of religious liberty, religious liberty has become fast become a disfavored right." He went on to say that for many today, religious liberty is not just a cherished freedom, but it is often considered an excuse for bigotry and is something that cannot be tolerated by some, even if there is no evidence that anyone was harmed because of it. He pointed to several cases, one being the Little Sisters of the Poor. They're a Catholic group, and we don't believe all like the Catholics, but they had to fight to keep their right to keep to not allow contraceptives to their workers. Nobody ever asked for one, but the government told them, you have to violate a tenet of your faith or we will restrict fines on you. We got another cake maker, a Christian cake maker, was fined and told he had to make a cake for a gay couple for their wedding, even though another cake bakery offered to make them a free cake. Why? Because they don't care if anybody was hurt or not. They just care about restricting your freedoms to worship your God. They want you to bow to their will, to their philosophies, to their message, to their preaching. And I want to say today, we can't cower in the face of that. We have to stand strong. If freedom of religion gets taken away, which it may, it is not our job to comply with the government on that stance. It is our job to be the church of God and to stand and to preach. Right now, in California and in Nevada and in many other places, casinos and restaurants and malls are allowed to have about 50% capacity. But in those same places, churches can only have about 50 people max, no, regardless of the size they're meeting in. In 2020, my college that I went to is being fined every week simply for meeting outdoors with masks and social distancing. all in the name of health. In those same places, in those same countries, or in those same states, you can. It's okay to go outside and riot. It's okay to go outside and loot. And it's okay to go out as thousands in masses to celebrate the projected victory of Joe Biden. But it is not okay to worship God. And the reason why is because they don't deem church essential. And so today I want to give you three reasons why I believe church is important and why I believe you need to be in church. Number one is this: church is important for our faith. If you'll turn with me to to 1 Timothy 3:15 through 16. 1 Timothy 3, chapter number 3, verse 15 through 16. The Bible says this: "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Pillar and the ground of truth. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory." When in verse 15, when it says the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground of truth, have you ever thought about what that means? What does it mean when he says the church is the pillar and the ground of truth? Well, ground there, if you look up the definition, means this: a settlement for a superstructure, or in other words, a foundation. The church is the foundation. It is the church's responsibility to lay a biblical foundation for our youth and for those that have just been saved and for those that are looking to follow God. It is our job to lay a foundation. And if you know anything about foundations, it is the most important part of a structure. Without a good foundation, the whole building comes crumbling down. Church today is essential, maybe not because it's the most fun or it's most boring, but it is essential because it is essential to the building blocks of our faith. It is essential to the future of Christianity. I think back on my own life, and almost everything I've ever learned about God, or the majority of stuff I learned about God, happened in church. Church is where I learned the Ten Commandments. My dad taught me stuff at home, but I learned much better from anybody but my parents, you know, because any good kid doesn't listen to their parents. Their parents don't know anything, you know. And I learned the Ten Commandments, in church. I learned what sin meant in church. I learned how I was supposed to act and how I was supposed to talk in church. I learned about Jonah and the whale. I learned about Samson and David and mighty men of God, and I learned about salvation in church. Dad taught me salvation at home. Don't knock my father for that. He did teach me that. But you know where I got saved? I got saved listening to the preaching of the gospel in church. Because church is important. Right now, all over this globe, really, schools are being closed. Some teachers want it to, some teachers don't. I'm not here to argue that, but schools are being closed. Even the schools that haven't been closed, I've talked to teenagers who are in school, and some of you are homeschooled. All the ones here are homeschooled. But they're learning online, even the public school kids right now. And you know what they found out through this whole process is? Kids don't learn online. Not very well, and not unless their parents are looking over their shoulder and making sure they do learn. Because people need to learn in person. And the same thing is true. You can watch live streaming. You can hear them preaching on live streaming, but you learn better when you're here together. Your kids will learn better when they're in Master Club or they're in Sunday school. And it is important, parents, that you bring your kids to church, whether they want to come or not, because it is important to set a solid foundation in their life while you still can. Church is important to lay a foundation, but church is also important, it says, as a pillar. I like history, and I like to travel. I've never been to Rome, but I have been to D.C., and you see some beautiful monuments and pillars all over D.C. And people are out there with cameras, and they're taking pictures, and they're like, oh, that's awesome, and they're standing up against poles being models and all that stuff because it's beautiful. But, you know, those pillars serve a more important purpose than just looking good. If you go up to the Jefferson Monument right now and you take away the pillars that are holding up that roof, the whole thing will come crashing down on itself. Because the pillar, its job is to hold up. And so when Paul is saying right here through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that the church is the pillar and the ground of church or of truth, is basically saying this: the church is the foundation and the church is the one that is holding up the truth. And today we need the church to hold up the truth. We need the church to meet to hold up the truth. We need the church to preach the word of God. Charles Spurgeon once said, the gospel is the whip that flogs the devil. And I would say today that what our country needs is not for churches to stay silent and not for churches to lock down in the name of health, but they need churches to meet together and to worship together and to sing together to build up the foundation of this country, because this country needs a spiritual foundation. And your neighbors need a spiritual foundation. No one can get into heaven without that. Pillars hold up, and it is our job as the church to hold up the truth. What does that mean? It means we are to call out sin. It means we are to hold up what is right and wrong. It means we are to hold up the doctrines found in this word. We are to preach the whole counsel of God. We are to hold up the Trinity. We are to hold up the deity of Christ. We are to hold up salvation and heaven and hell. And we are to preach the word. And may I just say today that without the church, without, I tread lightly, I mean, I know there are Christians, but without the church, I'm willing to say most of you would not have ever gotten saved, because there would have been no one holding up the truth. And salvation is the greatest gift we could ever have. Salvation is the most needed thing this world can have. But yet our politicians and our school systems and all of that would rather us take that away. Go have your alcohol, go have your marijuana, go have your abortions, go have all of that, but don't have Jesus, who can change your life. And the church is important because we need the church to do its job in laying a foundation and holding up the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And the Bible also says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And that is the truth we are to hold up. I if you're like me, you watch politics, and I've been watching all the politicians claim that they're spiritual. Kamala Harris in the vice presidential debate says, "It is offensive to me for you to say that I'm not spiritual. I believe in God." And she may well believe in a God. But may I just say tonight that it is not enough to believe in a God. It is not enough to be spiritual. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave, or you've missed the whole point. There is no power without Jesus Christ. And if our nation is spiritual, that's fine, but they need to be saved, because there's a difference between spiritual and saved. Spiritualness will wind you up in hell. Saved will get you to heaven. And that is what we need. Number two tonight, I want you to notice this: that the church is not only important for our faith, but it's important for our families. We all love our families. Sometimes they're knuckleheads. Sometimes you want to slap them around. But we love our families. We want what's best for them. And the church is given to support families. There's groups out there right now that would seek to tear them down. I won't name them by name, but you can go on their website and they will say that it is their job to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear for the family, which basically means it's their job to disrupt families and form their own concept of a family. But it's the church's job to hold up the family. It's the church's job to encourage and uplift the family. It's the church's job to help the family. Parents, we are not here to make your jobs harder. And we are not here to turn your kids against you. We are here to make your jobs easier and to turn your kids to Christ, which will turn your kids to you and to obeying you. The church is here to help the family. As I mentioned earlier, I learned most of my stuff about, or most of my knowledge about the Bible and about Jesus in church, because the church is a place to learn for your family. But number two, the church is also a place to grow for your family. Right? You, when you come to church, you make friends around your own ages. You get to go on teen activities if you're in a youth group. You get to go to regionals if you're in Master Club. If you're an adult, hopefully you find a Sunday school class and get plugged in with them because they're around your age, they're around your life problems, and they can help you. And church is a place to grow together in the knowledge of the Lord, but church is also a place to help. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard pastors say, hey, we need to pray for this person, or being on the phone in his office just talking to somebody that needs help. Right? We don't always like it. I mean, I'm the first to tell you. I'm not always the first to just jump at it to talk to somebody for hours. But God's called us to the ministry, and we'll do it because God wants us to do it. We'll help because we have the same compassion that God's given us, which is to help you guys. Right? Yeah, it's our job to serve you, not to just beat you over the head, and it's the church's job to help families. If there's a family struggling, we should be the first to jump to help them. If there's a kid going the wrong way, while we can't discipline that kid, we can pray for them and meet with them, and if the parents want counseling, we can counsel with them, and we can try to show them a better way than the way they're taking. Yeah. Because I'm just telling you, I was a teenager, I was a goofball, and I didn't listen to anybody, but everything I learned in church and in the youth group, whether I applied it right away or not, stuck with me. And that is our job, to help equip our young people and help equip our parents to be able to stand and be able to walk with God and be able to make the right decisions. And will you make the right decisions all the time? No. But when you make the wrong decisions, at least you had a church that gave you the right answers and you can recall them in your mind. It is our job to help, and the church is important to help. R. Kent Hughes once said this: on the most elementary level, you do not have to go to church to be a Christian. You do not have to go home to be married either. But in both cases, you will have a very poor relationship if you don't. And the same is true today. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You can read your Bible from home. You can travel the world and worship God if you want. You can call up your buddy, say, hey, come over, let's have church. But church is where you build a solid relationship with God. Church is where you build a solid relationship with other believers. And just like I don't have to go home to my wife, I'm not forced to, but if I don't, we won't have a good relationship. And you're not forced to come to church, but if you don't, you and God probably won't have a great relationship. Finally, I want to end with this. The church is important for our future. Number one, for the future of our kids. I've already mentioned this multiple times, but as it's our job to hold up the truth, if you're here and you love your kids, you want them to go to heaven, and there is no future for them to go to heaven if the church does not preach them the gospel. Christianity is only one generation away from extinction, and it's if the generation previous does not tell the next generation behind them. So the church is important for the future of Christianity, but the church is also important for the future of our nation. Psalms 33:12, if you want to flip there, you can. I wrote it down because I know I get long-winded and sometimes I ramble and all of that, but the Bible says this: blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. It didn't say blessed is a nation whose God is a God. Didn't say whose God is the gods or all the Greek mythology gods. It didn't say whose God is atheism or polytheism or nature. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you know, the church will survive just fine without America. The church will survive just fine without freedom. But America and freedom will not survive without the church. The church is important for this nation. I know we're Christians and we're supposed to be globalists, I guess, is that's what they tell us. But I would just like to say this. I love this country. And it doesn't mean I don't love the people in the rest of the world and want them to get saved. I do. But this is the country I grew up in. This is the country where everybody's trying to get in because of the freedoms we have. And I love this country enough to know that if we get away from this book, we don't stand a chance. and it's important. Ronald Reagan once said this, within the covers of the Bible are the answers to all the problems men face. And there are plenty of problems our world faces today. Right now in COVID, we're facing a pandemic. We're facing family members that are dying, but we're facing more than that. We're facing teenagers that are committing suicide at an alarming rate. We're facing teenagers and adults that are getting addicted to drugs and overdosing at an alarming rate. We're seeing, if you just look at the statistics, we're seeing murders up at an alarming rate in a bunch of our cities. And people are dying left and right. And for the future of our kids and for the future of this country, it is important that churches are open to help them and bring them in and point them on the straight and narrow path and say, Jesus is the way. Nothing else will suffice. Nothing else will satisfy. Only God will satisfy your life. We need churches that are giving the answers. I believe with my whole heart, the Bible has the answers to all life's toughest questions. Where do we come from? How did we get here? Why are we here? What's going to happen when we leave? All of it. What's marriage? How are you supposed to raise your kids? How are you supposed to act? How are you supposed to talk? The Bible gives the answers to all of that. It's incredible because not a lot of other books do that, but the Bible does. Because it was given to us by God to be our guidebook. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Basically just meaning it's my GPS through life. It's my guide. Our nation needs the Lord. My brother Joel, most of you know him, he's terrified about the future right now because everybody's saying it's gloom and doom. God's going to come back. If Joe Biden wins the presidency, we're done. And Joel wants to get married, so he can't have that. You know, his future's bright. He's getting married, and he does not want the world to end right now. And you know what? There's a lot of talk about what the future's going to hold. Will there be freedom anymore? Will there be America? Will God come back? Will the world just end in a nuclear holocaust? I don't know. I do know it won't end like that. But I can't give you all the answers to what the future holds, but I can give you this. That the church will survive and God will take care of his people. It gets bad. It gets tough. It gets crazy. But you know, Jesus never promised us an easy life. Jesus never said, hey, the government will be on your team all the time. He never said, hey, they're going to jump in line and just follow you all the way. You're going to have just people flock into your church to help you out, to run activities, to do a bus route, to bring kids in. You're going to have everything you need. God didn't promise that. He did promise this. He says, in the world, you shall have tribulation. Right? We're in America. We haven't had to experience most of that. We're experiencing that a tiny bit right now. But again, why I like missions conferences or missions month is because you hear from missionaries that are in worse situations and God's doing miraculous things. Think about the Sudan, and Christianity is not legal, but God's still saving souls and adding to his church. Because God says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And aren't you glad tonight that you don't have to stay up late worrying about who's going to be in the Oval Office on January 1st. Aren't you glad tonight that you don't have to worry what AOC and the squad or what Mitch McConnell and the Republicans are doing or not doing? Because God is in control. That same verse that says, in the world ye shall have tribulations, Jesus follows it up and says this, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And tonight we can have hope in the future because no matter what the world does, Jesus says, I've overcome it all. And you don't have to fear. Just stand and do what's right. I'll close with this. And throughout history, and I love history. If you know me, I love it. Christianity has been persecuted on a large scale. And it's always thrived everywhere it got persecuted. The Romans, for 300 years, Christianity was outlawed. Christians were torn asunder. Christians were tied to wild beasts. Christians were thrown into coliseums. Christians were burned at the stake. But yet, the apostles stood boldly. The apostles got stoned and kept preaching. And the gospel reigned on to our generation. And Christians were saved by the thousands during that time. You go over to the Dark Ages in the Catholic Church, and they just rounded up Protestants. They rounded up Anabaptists and Waldensians. And if you know your Baptist history, that's where we come from for the most part. We weren't Protestants. We were always separate. And the Catholics went around and rounded them up and persecuted them and killed them and executed them and even sometimes took them to the river and drowned them because they believed what the Bible says. And you would think that would be scary. And it probably was. And you would think that Christians would just shut up and go away and hide. And that's probably what the Catholic Church was hoping for. But there were men and women that rose and stood and says, the just shall live by faith. Men like William Tyndale, men like John Huss, men like Martin Luther, who wasn't a Baptist, but who stood in the face of persecutions, and the gospel and the church lived on. And today, the gospel still lives on. Today, the church will still survive. And we get tied up in that, and we get hung up and we get discouraged. And if you ask Pastor and you ask me, 2020 has been discouraging at some points. I mean, you see it all the time. Attendance is down. Master Club attendance is down. Teenage attendance is sometimes down. Regular attendance is down. And you look at other churches and their attendance is down, and you just can't help but think, or what are we going to do? How, especially me, because I'm a young pastor. I got hopefully a lot of life to live left. Some of you, not to be offensive, some of you don't have as long as I do to live, you know. But and you might get to see Jesus be way before I do. But here's the thing, for me, it can get discouraging even as a young man, because you just think, God called me to the ministry, and now it gets hard. Now I have to go to prison maybe one day. Now we may have to meet underground. Now people are just leaving. What? God, you called me. How are you going to take care of me now? But you know what? Throughout 2020, I found comfort in Matthew 16:18, which says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because it's not up to us to build this church. It's not up to us to see souls saved. It's not up to us to defend this church. Jesus Christ will build his church and will defend his church, and not even the devil can stop him. And that should make you encouraged. That should give you hope for the future. Because there is hope for the future, and it's found in the gospel. It's found in this book. Pastor will come. Ms. Gwen will play. And I don't particularly deem myself a great speaker, and I don't know what all of you are going through or facing. I don't know what your family lives are like. I don't know what school life's like. I don't know what COVID has done to you financially or anything like that, but I do know this. When you look around and sometimes get discouraged, don't. Take hope in the fact that God's on our team. Amen. No matter what the world does to us, whether we have to meet one day at my house or somebody else's house to have church, or have to have like a million services just to keep COVID distances, no matter what happens, God will take care of us, and God will provide, and God will always save souls.
Amen.